Right, Don't Stop Believing. I'm sure Theresa May sings that to herself from time to time, does she? She's meeting her cabinet this morning after the DUP put it up to her to a certain extent last night. Let me speak to Ben Lowry, who's the deputy editor across at the newsletter. Ben, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Ben, DUP, just for people who may not be aware of what they did, they made a gesture. They made a gesture. Just talk us through that.
Well, yes, they abstained in the finance bill. The budget was a few weeks ago, and then it's such a huge piece of legislation that there's a lot of votes thereafter on the finance bill to get it all through. So what it was a warning to the government that they are not happy. And to be honest, it shows that the DUP is in a pretty unpleasant situation, because if it brings down the government, it will not be forgiven. It could lead to a general election. It's impossible to say where it can go. So what it's trying to do is flex its muscles without actually doing that. That's what I imagine it's trying to do.
But are they going to be taken? Are they going to be taken seriously if they only go half at it? Because everyone knows if they go too far, they'll get something that's even worse than what they have, in their opinion.
I mean, I think the thing that a lot of people say is that the DUP wouldn't vote against the government because of Jeremy Corbyn. I think that it is going to have to vote against this deal because it will lead to a border in the Irish Sea. It might even lead to a full customs border in future years in the Irish Sea. It's a pretty disastrous state of affairs. But what's really, really problematic for the DUP is that because it's all very complex, maybe because people don't really care about the border anymore, maybe because people don't really care about sovereignty, there isn't that much uproar about it. I mean, it's probably more significant, potentially, but certainly if there's a customs border, it's probably more significant, ultimately, than the Anglo-Irish Agreement in terms of the constitutional change that there is. But the businesses are not only not coming out in favour of the DUP, they're turning on the DUP. The only people who are agreeing with them are the Ulster Unionist Party, and they are blaming the DUP. So it is a sign of things having disintegrated for the DUP.
What?
I mean, they'll still, if there's an election tomorrow, they'll win it. They'll probably win it handsomely and for years to come, because the society is so polarized. But when you think that a few years ago commentators were saying that Arlene Foster was master of everything that she surveyed, this is a sign of how everything has gone badly for them. Because if they do end up having to bring down the government, or feeling that they have to bring down the government, they say that they're not going to do that because they seem to think that they can keep the confidence and supply going and in the hope that there's a change of leader. But if they do have to bring down the government, it's the final disaster for them after RHI, after all the other problems. And it principally because they will never be forgiven by the Conservative Party, and the Conservative Party is a very, very powerful institution. And whatever difficulties the Conservative Party has, it's going to be a very, very powerful institution for many decades to come.
How do the DUP get off the hook that they seem to be on? If you were a strategist for the DUP, what would you be saying to them that they can do now to ensure that Northern Ireland is an integral part of the United Kingdom and there's going to be no egg on face? What's the next move for them?
Well, that's a very good question, because I wouldn't know how to advise them is the short answer. I think probably doing something like this, flexing their muscles, would be one thing. Another thing is just hoping. Michael Portillo, for example, is a very senior former politician who knows the Conservative Party inside out. He's not involved now, but he said that for Theresa May to bring forward this bill would be suicidal, because if she brings forward it and it fails in the House of Commons, the government will fall and there'll have to be a general election. There are different interpretations on that. So, in a way, the DUP now finds itself in a situation hoping that something will happen, such as that there is a change of leader. But even that's not happening. I mean, you know, there's clearly been a difficulty in the rebels getting the numbers together for this to happen. There's a real possibility if there's a leadership election that the Conservative Party will close ranks around Theresa May. So the options for the DUP are not good, because they cannot accept this bill. No unionist could accept this bill if they really care about the union. I mean, there is an argument to have the best of both worlds, but again, it's very hard to see where this would go constitutionally, and it wouldn't look good. I mean, we essentially lose control of our trade policy, and then there'll be a push for the Irish government to represent us or for us to have MEPs. So it isn't an easy thing. There might be a change of leader, which would help them. Might be that there's still a cabinet revolt against the deal. But not only are there no easy options at Westminster, this really throws up the question of what's going to happen at Stormont. I mean, the nationalist view is that the government has been helping the DUP and has been partisan, but the view of commentators like me is that in spite of the DUP and Tory deal, the government has never really properly defended unionism at any point in this process. It has never been prepared to say that Sinn Féin brought the institutions down or anything like that. So if the government hasn't been particularly supportive to date, it's certainly not going to be supportive if things fall apart with the DUP. It's really hard for them to know what to do, and it's a pretty grim situation for the DUP.
If there was a change of leader, for example, if Dominic Raab became the leader of the Conservative Party, where would the advantage be there for the DUP?
I think you're probably talking about the best thing that can happen to the DUP is that a leader like Dominic Raab comes in, or Sajid Javid, or somebody who's a little bit more Eurosceptic but doesn't split the party apart and then says, we can't do this and we have to go... We have to get something else, and that the EU changes course. I mean, there was a. I was talking to a very experienced former diplomat, who said that his reading of the situation was that the EU would have climbed down at the Vienna summit in December, but it would, you know, the EU is much more confident about this, and it was prepared to go a bit further and. The British government isn't really able to take that risk. So while it would be better for the DUP, potentially, if a leader like that came in, I think the argument that you can go back to Brussels and renegotiate and get something out of the EU at this stage is pretty unlikely. These leaders have made clear that they feel that they have made concessions already, and there's already... unhappiness in some of the countries at some of the concessions that have already been made to Britain. So even a change of leader, it's hard to see what they would do. And obviously the change of leader that the DUP would most want would be a strongly pro-Brexit leader like Jacob Rees-Mogg or Boris Johnson or somebody like that. But then for months we've been hearing the moderate Tories saying that a leader like that will break the party in two. I mean, I was saying earlier that the Conservative Party is going to be a powerful institution for decades to come, and I think that even if the party breaks apart, a core of it will be a very powerful entity. But there are pretty huge problems for the Conservative Party in this as well. The nightmare scenario, though, for the DUP is the thing that I've been wondering about for more than a month was somebody who's very informed at Westminster to what's going on and talking, as he says, to the people who are writing some of these deals with the EU. He was saying to me that the government had already decided, this is early October, he said this, so it's probably back in September, the government had already decided that they could get this through without DUP votes. And I've always wondered why they think that, and it comes down to maybe they feel that when it comes to the crunch, there's going to be a raft of Labour MPs who will support them. But if that happens, we have to be very clear about what has happened. The DUP has been cut adrift if the deal goes through. It's already been cut adrift in the government's intentions. I mean, what the government has done, it's not as if the government didn't know that this would be a problem. In fact, Theresa didn't know that this would be a problem for their deal. My own view is that Theresa May is genuinely unionist and that she has tried in, as far as she can to stop this happening, but she was getting to the situation where it was a choice between no deal and cutting the DUP adrift, in effect. And when it has come to that choice, she has, in effect, cut the DUP adrift.
Ben, I'm going
to... Mr. Theresa May, she has tried to avoid a customs border by making the customs arrangement to this UK-wide so that we only have a regulatory border. I know it's all very complex. But I even think that that is going to be changed in years to come, because I think that when Middle England realizes what a customs union entails, it will revolt against it. So I think that if this deal goes through, ultimately there will be a full trade border in the Irish Sea. And I think a lot of people who are not making a fuss about it now won't be very happy with it. So it's a grim situation for the DUP and not a great situation for anybody, to be honest, except somebody who wants the closest possible relationship with Europe and somebody who wants an increase in all-Ireland orientation on this island.
Okay, Ben, I'm going to have to leave it there, but if you're just joining us late and you're wondering who the commentator is, that's the deputy editor of the newsletter describing the DUP today. That's not some neutral like Jamie DeLargy, who would come on from time to time and have said similar things in the past. This is a paper that publishes to the unionist community, clearly stating that the DUP is on a hook and Ben Lowry couldn't give them advice on how to get off the hook or how to save face or indeed avoid egg on face. There's very interesting commentary there from Ben, who is the deputy editor of the newsletter. If you're just joining us, good morning.